Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation here this morning is recorded in the 91st Psalm, reading verses 9 through 12. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In today's homily, we get a little lesson in biblical interpretation. And the lesson is this: don't do bumper sticker theology. But wait a minute, bumper stickers are great. Some of my favorite ones are, do you follow Jesus this closely? Honk if you love Jesus, but text if you want to see him. And please don't break into my car. I really do keep my treasure in heaven. That one didn't go so well. Don't get me wrong. Short bumper sticker-like slogans are very helpful to us in processing big ideas. For when used correctly, they function like memory cues. They help us unpack and digest ideas. Scripture is full of bumper sticker-like slogans, such as Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone. But as helpful as bumper stickers are, they can be understood in a reductionistic-like fashion. And by doing so, they can so easily misrepresent the very scriptures that they desire to convey. For instance, we all know what happens when one interprets the theological slogan rather than the biblical texts that are conveyed by the slogan. We get interpretations of faith alone, such as, I don't need the church. I don't need the sacraments. I don't even need God's word. All I need is faith alone. God talks to me through my faith alone. And I, in turn, put my trust in God, in my faith alone. Sad to say, this is a pretty typical example of how faith alone is so often misunderstood. In fact, St. Paul corrects this very misunderstanding when he says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Today we're going to meditate on a portion of Psalm 1, a psalm that unfortunately is very much misunderstood by bumper sticker theology. Now, Psalm 91 is one of the most beautiful psalms in the Psalter. It is a profound psalm of spiritual protection. Traditionally, Christians prayed it each evening as they went to bed. The catechism's morning and evening prayers draw on its promise of angelic protection. It offers divine protection as well as a strategy for overcoming the pitfalls of Satan. But sad to say, Christians past and present at times have misunderstood it as a talisman or as a good luck charm. They have displayed it in their homes, on pendants, and other objects to ward off evil. Now, we should certainly surround ourselves with God's word, including in visual form. For it's only by meditating on God's scripture that it will saturate everything that we do with love. But if we think that a mere object marked by God's word is going to send the devil running, we sure got another thing coming. For the devil is able to quote the scripture better than the most astute theologian. He knows how to use the law against each and every one of us. And if you have any doubt about this, take a good hard look at the book of Job, where Satan prosecutes Job before the Lord God himself. Now that we got that straight, what about this divine protection stuff? The psalmist says, "Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague shall come near your tents." Surely this means Christians are resistant to evil and to disease. Now, if that's true, are people who experience evil and disease Christians? I certainly hope so, because I've been suffering from an awful cold the last couple of weeks. You don't have to look very far in Scripture to see that even God's faithful have had to endure the assaults of the devil. One of Jesus' most beloved friends, Lazarus, even died prematurely. Thus, the psalmist isn't promising us that Christians are not going to experience evil or they're not going to experience disease. Rather, what the psalmist is saying is that nothing can snatch us from God's refuge and hand. Indeed, we will all experience temporal death, but the believer will never experience eternal death with Satan for all eternity, for we are grounded in God's refuge and hand. You see, bumper sticker theology is really ignorance of Scripture. One of the great Latin doctors who we remember on this day in the church year once put it this way: ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. How can we have a personal relationship with Jesus and call him our friend if we don't want to actually sit and listen to him in his word? On the pinnacle of the temple, our Lord himself admonishes us of all bumper sticker theology. For there in our Lord's temptation, Satan put Jesus on the highest point of the temple and said, "Jump off that thing." After all, doesn't our psalm say, "For God will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone"? But here Jesus exposes the devil's own simplistic theology when he rebukes him in this fashion: "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." God's promise of protection is not license to indulge testing God and sinning all the more. Yet how often haven't we tested the Lord by indulging in our own unrepentant sin, all the while thinking that at least God or his guardian angels are going to bail us out? Psalm 91 doesn't teach once saved, always saved. It doesn't state that we are saved regardless if we are repentant or not. But thanks be to God that Jesus doesn't allow us to get away with our bumper sticker theology. In fact, he puts pastors, teachers, and fellow Christians in our lives to call us on our bad theology, lest it lead us to eternal destruction. For to be sure, no one can snatch you from God's refuge and hand. But that doesn't mean that you can't jump out of it through unrepentant sin and disbelief. But notice, Jesus' work of salvation isn't done here. He suffered the very curse of the law so that Satan couldn't make a legal case against us. For St. Paul puts it this way: "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.'" Without his sacrifice upon the cross, the devil would be able to win his case against us every single time. But Jesus didn't just find a legal loophole. He so fulfilled the law so that we could be certain that as believers, nothing can separate us from God's refuge and hand. This is why the repentant believer can pray this psalm with absolute confidence. "Because I have made the Lord my dwelling place, the Most High who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall me, no plague shall come near my tent." Yesterday, brothers and sisters, was Michaelmas, a day when we learn about St. Michael and all the other angels, a day when we give thanks to God for all the service that they do for us. Angels are indeed magnificent creatures, far more powerful than we can ever imagine. In fact, Saint Michael even defeated the devil when he waged war in heaven. That's what a profound comfort this is for each and every one of us. For we have an all-powerful and ever-present God. And yet he is so personally invested in each and every one of us that he assigns guardian angels to watch over all of us. Why? He does this to further assure us that nothing can separate us from God's refuge and hand. Jesus indeed came to give us grace upon grace. And lest we ever doubt the sincerity of that angelic protection, Jesus tells us these words: I tell you that in heaven the angels of God's little ones always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And again, Jesus says, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This concludes our biblical interpretation lesson for today. Remember that ignorance of Scripture is ultimately ignorance of Christ. That gives us a whole lot of problematic interpretations of the Bible. But thanks be to God that Christ doesn't allow us to indulge this bumper sticker theology. For even though we have often been lousy friends to Christ, he has always been a true friend to us. He gives us the tough love we need through the law and through fellow Christians that confront us with the law. But more importantly, he sacrificed himself on the cross to assure each and every one of us that those who are repentant believers can never be separated from God's refuge and hand. Amen.